That's so funny. I could hear Penelope walking up the hall before I could hear with my ears because I had the headphones on. I was like, I hear it. It's like, it reminds me of my dog because I got a Jack Russell.
Did you think that maybe you were becoming a superhero and you were starting to get like superpowers that you could hear stuff in other rooms?
Yeah, I was starting to feel a little daredevilish.
Is that who you would want to be? Are you into the superheroes and Marvel and all that?
I am. I'm a toxic masculine nerd.
Does that go hand in hand?
I don't know. I'm just making. I think the new thing is to make fun or put down Marvel. Just like the way it became fun or the norm to put down the Beatles or AC/DC or some of like these classic rock bands that everybody like still loves something of theirs, I feel like, or can appreciate an aspect. I mean, there's going to be some people just hate whoever's guts, but
yeah,
I don't know. I just feel like
on no merit, just that they're there and we're not, or they're not. Right?
Well, the problem, although. Some people are like, I didn't tune in for comic book talk, but let's say one thing I will say on the Marvel, though, you put out so much stuff in a short amount of time, no matter how good some of it is, you have to constantly compare rather as it being more of a treat. Like,
oh,
like the way you're going to the movies is supposed to be like, it's a treat. Like you maybe every once in a while you stack up a couple in a row or a couple of months, but typically I think the average person isn't like, especially since things keeps getting so much more expensive. Like, I don't think the norm is to go to the movies as much with how much is streaming and stuff. So, yeah. Like, it used to feel like more of a treat, and it still does. But that's how Marvel should feel like, too, because it's like superhero isn't like the regular movie, but it's become that. And I think that's why it's, like, annoying to
people. Used to be like we had to wait, like, even, like, well, especially, like, with the first trilogy of Star Wars, it was, like, 3-4 years in between each one, and then for the second trilogy to come back, that was like 20 years. Like we waited, and then after that, it was like boom, 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 boom.
Yeah,
like with the super blockbuster.
As soon as we got that next Star Wars nut, we were too addicted, man.
Oh man, that was like a break out of jail nut too. It was like so long.
That was a lot, man.
Okay, were you in? I'm gonna stick with comic books for just a second. Were you?
Sorry, I can't tell if I was loud in the headphones or not. So I was like right here because I think I could hear myself.
You were at a perfect volume wherever you were right now. Like you had it like right. You were at a perfect volume. It's all good.
I'm dyslexic, you know. things happen. You know, I see. I don't see enough things that are right in front of me sometimes.
AJ DeMello, how the hell are you?
I'm doing okay, man. You know, just going through life one $700 dog bill at a time, you know.
$700?
It just all added up to that. So, like, he's lucky he's adopted. So the first time like this, I feel obligated, you know.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
No, I love him and stuff, but like we're just I got him. I always feed him well and everything like that, and I take him for a bunch of walks. So I'm not too worried after paying for this other stuff, and hopefully things stay good after that.
That's what I was gonna say. 700, and does he have a clean slate of health, or is it 700 and like we think he's gonna be better?
Well, he had like crystals in his like urine and stuff, and then they wanted to run even more stuff, and I was like, well, let's give him the medication for that. He had his heart murmur got worse, so I'm gonna keep giving him medication for that now for sure. They said to improve his quality of life, and I was like, okay, you're gonna give me a discount on this quality of prescriptions. I'm gonna have to.
How did you notice the crystals in his urine? Did he pee outside and sun hit it just right?
Well, he always likes to. He's almost like an artist in how he likes to pee and poop. You know, like the other day he positioned himself like in the middle of like a chopped down tree stump. You know, like on the side of like a. Like a high traffic like road, you know. Uh-huh. He's almost like a comic. It's pretty funny. he always pisses directly on those signs when people leave on someone's yards that says pick up after your dog, or like put the censorship through like a dog like lifting their leg, and then
like he can spot that. He's like, fuck you.
Yeah, he's got good timing, you know, like that's, it's just, you know, he doesn't like getting his picture taken, so I could never take advantage ever when he does anything.
This one's not a picture taker either. She can tell.
I think, like, that's, you know, an art too, you know, like for as much as dogs you think would want to be like, oh yeah, take my picture, because the way they act a lot of times being cute and stuff, there's just I don't know, it's a that I'd like to see a science show on that, you know, like why is a dog act so cute and like look for like, oh look at me like this, and then you're like, well hold on just a split second so I can document this so I can love you forever because you're not around you know a lot, especially if we get two $700 bills in a row, you know,
like, that's what I'm saying, dude. It's 60 to put them down.
I hope not, but yeah, I found that out today and I'm gonna write that place down, and then I'm gonna if I ever have to do that,
yeah,
I hope not, I'll send them flowers.
Can
and, you know,
can you let them know I referred you, because I think I get 10% off if I have.
We're a bunch of pieces of shit right now. If you're listening and your dog's legs are shaking,
use code Jess.
Oh man,
use code Jesse at a green, I think it was Green Haven Animal Hospital.
Everyone's either laughing or they're turning us off right now.
Oh man,
oh my god.
All right, let's get off the dog.
That's funny.
Oh man, how have you been, man? So you're now a Sacramentan. Are you a Sacramentan now?
I am.
You're a 20916er? I saw somebody hashtag 20916 the other day.
Yeah, every time I see the light, the beam, I pull over to the side of the road and piss as hard of the stream as I can, you know?
Are you a Warriors fan?
Are you not? I mean,
I know football's your thing, and I'm going to try to avoid the subject. But are you a basketball fan? I'm like whatever is in season. You know what I'm saying? So now I'm like light the beam. What are you?
Basketball, not as much. I mean, I was a heavy Warriors fan until they. Well, I would say up until from like high school, like right, like before the We Believe, like I was in there like struggling, like for years. But then obviously the We Believe happened, and then. Later on, you get Steph Curry. And then when they won the first championship, I was trying to eliminate a bunch of things because I used to watch too much sports.
Okay.
So I just said, you know, I'm just not going to follow the team because I thought that was a great win. But I was also like, you know, I'm never going to stop watching the Raiders. And then I cut the A's out too, especially after they did all their trades again, like years ago, just they break. The A's are like the worst possible girlfriend, like even worse than the Raiders. Like they slap you around, but then they just like, they could be like really good in the bedroom for a year, yeah, for some reason.
Really
like,
they put on those really pretty home whites with the with like, the green and yellow, and you're like, oh, babe.
Like you almost get to the like you get to the altar with them, and then you're like, oh, I'm glad like something went wrong.
You know, it's like you get to the altar with them, and you're like, wait, that's your cousin marrying us? Oh yeah, I saved a buck.
yeah. This is a grand day right here.
Yeah, right on. So, okay, like you mentioned something right there, and I think it's something I wanted to talk to you about. You said that you were watching too much sports and you had to cut stuff out. So it seems like, and then I've also known you for a couple of years now. I know that you've lost a ton of weight. Like, are you constantly trying to like work on yourself and make yourself better? Like, are you working on your mental and your physical health? Or like, what kind of decisions are those?
Yeah, I do. I do Braille at night and eat raw egg by day. I know when I moved to Sacramento, I just wanted to, you know, I just seen a lot of bad health over the years and family. So I was like, well, going like into my early 30s, I probably should just carry something the rest of my life if I can in a certain way and start the habit now, because I feel like this is the age frame where like you either get a certain thing right and you try to keep it, or like you're just gonna keep waffling like you have been in your 20s or You know, I feel like that the 20s, you got to figure stuff out and like develop enough to where you get, you feel like okay saying no to certain things, or like just brushing things off, or just leaving, like just realizing like time is precious. Right. I feel like right. So as I get older, I'm just like, yeah, I'm not gonna, or you know, I'm
was,
just
was there know. Was there an event or a trigger, like maybe something didn't happen to you, but like something happened to a loved one and you're like, fuck, I'm going down that same path, and well, I should just like help myself out.
No, yeah, I mean, I lost both my parents in the past few years, and then they both, like my mom went even worse than my dad, and they both just had like such serious like ailments, like, you know, dying in hospital beds, and my dad in a freaking ER. They couldn't even get him into the regular hospital bed in Stockton, you know.
Okay.
Went out as some, I was trying to think of some like Stockton rapper, but I couldn't, you know.
I can't think of one either.
A lot of people think I'm from Stockton, or think, but I'm actually from the Bay Area, the Moss Beach, right next to Half Moon Bay. But I moved to Turlock in 2012. But I've spent like
grew up in the Bay Area, because like in 2012, you're like in your early 20s, right?
But I only did one year and a half. Almost to like a stand-up when I started out there before I moved with my dad, that eventually became his caregiver. That's why I kind of wasn't as many shows, had to cancel a lot of shows from like, you know, 2016 to like 2020. Was like, could never really get a lot of consistency up until like the year before, like filming that special that I did.
Yeah.
But yeah. That was, yeah.
You know what? I want to ask you something then right now, because I lost my dad a long time ago. Like I was only 14 when my dad died, but my mom, I lost just a little over 2 years ago. Right. Mm-hmm. And it was probably about 18 months after my mom passed. And like, I love my mom. Me and my mom were like best friends. We had a great friendship. We were pals, right? I have no animosity toward my mom.
Mm-hmm.
But probably about 18 months after my mom died, like I had this like this sense, this feeling of that, like, I don't have to worry about ever disappointing anyone ever again. Because no matter like what I did, like, I'd be like, oh, would mom be proud of this? What would mom think? I don't want to tell mom I did that. You know, even like at 50 years old, I was like, I don't want to tell my mom I did that. You know,
but like the burden.
But like now, like I really feel like I really do give zero fucks. Like, did you feel something like that, or are you on the verge of something like that, or how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, kind of, because now you're just your own person and there's nobody to like, when you make, well, also it puts more pressure on you when you make decisions, because you don't have people to fall back on at all, or to disappoint, or to worry what they would think. Isn't, no matter how strong a willed person you are, there's still like a slice in your brain that's like, I gotta deal with this at some point, no matter how confident you are in your decision, you know, because and it becomes harder to deal with parents as they get older, no matter how sane they are, you know. But yeah, it's definitely not fun. Try to keep the parents alive, at least in between the passings, if you have two parents,
right
that are hopefully in your life,
or if you're a parent right now, take care of yourself so that you're around and enjoying that quality of life.
Just do like red meat Tuesdays, you know. Just,
is that what you do? You do red meat once a week?
No, I'm just saying, like, or like Taco Tuesday. Like, I feel like that saying gets it right, because my dad used to just, phenomenal cook, but see why he would have some of the problems he did, because he would eat like too well. He would cook all these different kinds of meats and red meat, or really do a lot of it at once, but it was all fantastic. But that was another reason why I was like, gotta try to like just have that every once in a while, and when I go out, and I just bake a lot of chicken most of the time, you know, just
chicken
season
is my go-to,
and like mix vegetables with broccoli or something, and I try to mix in brown rice like every other time I do it, you know, because that just makes me hella full, especially if I'm gonna pack like lunches for work.
Uh-huh.
That brown rice like really can like make a meal like out of what you don't think a lot is. You just throw like a scoop or two in with whatever you got, you know. At least you gotta try to make some of these lunches count. My last work, I used to be able to get lunch all the time, but now it's like you gotta figure out not just to like feed yourself, because I hate working a day job where I feel like I didn't eat enough or like I'm hungry. Because, like, especially when you, like, you're constantly working.
Like, it's physical labor, so you're constantly burning? So you're always hungry?
Or even just, like, on your feet, you know?
Yeah,
like,
okay.
Even if you're just standing. Like,
yeah, well, you're burning calories. Yeah,
you know, because I'm just working a warehouse now, and I just do a lot of standing and moving some things around, but it's not, it's better than the last job I had, like, working in food, because when you're busy, there's just so much anxiety on the times and this and that, you know, no matter how far you are, because, you know, I don't know. There's probably more interesting things we could talk about.
I want to talk about, because I'm very curious. How did you self-produced, self-financed the special?
No.
Well, how did that come about?
I didn't finance... Or, I mean, I guess you could count me as a producer, but from all the work I did to make sure it got out, but I didn't decide to do it or, like, pay for it. This independent filmmaker, he who had worked with my brother on, you know, numerous movies, and they, like, went back to high school. Half Moon Bay High alums also. I always look for opportunity to use the word alum. But I was just able to incorporate myself.
Sound really like, wow, this guy's got alum. This guy's got alum he can count on.
I'm really trying to get the vocabulary out there. Yeah,
you're doing splendid.
Wait, what the hell was I just talking about?
Self-produced. No, it wasn't self-produced. A high school alum.
So he hit me up because he hadn't produced the stand-up special yet, and he was like,
"Oh,
his idea at first was like, what if we just go to Punchline and, you know, even if it's, you know, not even like packed or just whatever, we'll just film it." But he only wanted to do like one take, you know,
one camera, one take, or multi-cams,
one take. Well, it was kind of up to me because he lived in L.A. and he was also like finishing filming one of his films. So I had a good enough camera crew nearby, and he was just going to, him and my brother did the audio.
Okay.
They were going to edit it later. We used Nick Larson and Luke Soynes. Nick Larson, fellow Deaf Puppy.
Hell yeah.
And Luke Soyan, you know, fellow Sacramento native here, good cameraman himself. He had some of my favorite shots in that special. Like
they do great work.
Yeah, I thought it came together pretty well. That's why I was like, let's just do it at the Shea Root Lounge. But I didn't even accept it at first. I had to think about it for like a week or something. I reached out to like a few different comics because, you know, I was nowhere near, and I probably still am nowhere near like worthy of like trying to put out a special, because also just it fucked me up for a couple years after that, but we could talk about that after. But trying to keep my train of thought, the special, I decided, okay, just take the opportunity because he's gonna put it on Amazon, and this was like where we filmed it was literally like a month or like a few weeks right before COVID hit. And actually had to postpone the special because my dad died a couple days before. So I postponed it like a few weeks, and you know, so I was able to like write and like process that, and did it one take. The phone rang in the middle of the special. We were able to cut it out somehow. There's like
whose phone? Yours?
No.
Oh,
for the Shea Root Lounge, like for one of my old high school bullies or something. Well, actually, after I became a sophomore and punched a dent into the wall in the locker room, nobody fucked with me after that. But that was a fun moment. But keep my train of thought. But yeah, the special, I decided to just take advantage of the opportunity. I was like, okay, I don't have to pay to do this, but I did have to do like a lot of the work in terms of editing, like with Nick, because I also wanted it to come together, you know, a certain way. Like, not that we went out of order or anything like that, but just making sure, like, with all the shots that were and like how it kind of, because we used a few different cameras, so I don't want to get too cute, but also make sure there's a good flow and mm-hmm. you know, stuff like that. And I was happy with how it came out, but yeah, it wasn't like me like going, I need to put on a special, or I have the money to, like, I just took advantage of that opportunity, and then it fucked with me for, I would say, the next 2 years, where this year I'm like a lot more like free thinking a little bit, because I think also just there's a lot of changes that I went through in the past few years, from like moving, selling my dad's house after like him dying, and then my mom passes like after I moved to Sacramento, and I hadn't seen her in like 16 years, and then I had to go back and like say bye to her, like, you know, it was a terrible like state and everything. So it was like a lot to like process, and also losing weight. Tried to like get a little too cute with how I like looked, because I was like, you know, a little lonely, Jesse. You know,
I hear it.
So losing weight, I kind of just got addicted to like dating like pretty heavy for a while. After kind of like getting off the apps and, you know, all of that jazz, this past year kind of been able to more like settle down and just, you know, I got the mustache now. Not trying.
It's sharp. I already got a picture of it.
Just yeah, got to document it. You know,
yeah.
Might get up and leave.
Was the mustache an accident? You were just like trimming your beard too much?
No, it was.
It was a look.
It was, well, also like things have changed for me on stage with losing like weight, and how I was like trying to cut my beard with. I was also trying to cut my beard like with like a fade and stuff. Like I was trying to like date heavy and like, you know, get with some hot girls, Jesse.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I'll just be honest. But I think it just made me look like I was trying too hard on stage to look good. So maybe after I become, I didn't want to say become, but if I ever get to a stage where I put out like multiple specials, like on. Like in like a real way where it reaches like hella people, then maybe I could be like a Nate Bargatze and be like a silver fox, you know, like looking real clean cut. I feel like some comics really earn the like looking like good on stage sometimes, like by the consistency and how long they've done it, and their fan base is already showing up for them. So I feel like if people already don't give a fuck about you, and they just showing up to a club or whatever, and like, I don't need to make it any harder on myself, because I have that with people still. Like, if I see someone that's really good looking, guy or girl or whatever, sometimes you just have like some kind of negative thought, even if it's as a joke or something. Like, if
same, yeah,
you know, so like, and where that's just a part of being human too.
I think so.
So, anyways, I don't know where I was going with that.
Yeah, we were talking about. That was a great tangent, man. That was a great tangent. No, yeah, I wanted to ask you about the special, because like I'm gonna do my own, but I'm selfing the whole thing, right?
Okay.
Like I got punchline.
That's and, dope.
But I do. Nick Larson is shooting mine.
There you go.
Nick's shooting mine, and we're gonna do three cameras, like one static, one side, and then one. And Luke's helping him with the shots.
So, oh, that's perfect, because they work really good. I mean, they're both good on their own, but they work even better together, because they've got also the, you know, they'll be able to work in a wider space too, which will make it even better. So, because working in the Shea Root, that was with like the lighting and, you know, because I had to make sure everyone had all the stuff together, because Dan, you know, was still in LA, but I knew we could have the equipment and stuff. It was just, you know, I just kind of became the executive producer essentially throughout this whole thing.
Yeah. Or going back to mine really quickly, I just wanted to correct myself.
Yeah.
Nick shooting it, he said he was going to reach out to Luke to do the second camera, and I haven't heard that part
back. Okay.
But I know he was going to reach out to Luke, so well, Luke's not confirmed.
If you can get Luke, then that's a good score.
I would be ecstatic if Luke was able to join the project, because I've seen some of the work he's done, and I mean, he's been doing stuff like that for years and years and years, and you could see it in the finished product.
Oh yeah, he's probably the most talented person I know, just working in video, editing, shooting. You know, he's doing a lot of good work.
Yeah, solid dude. All right, let me see, AJ. Let me look at my notes. We talked about the weight loss. We talked about your special. We talked about moving to SAC. What do you do? What's your writing process, man? What do you are you a pen to paper guy? Are you a notes in your phone guy, or are you one of those, I don't write nothing down, it's all top of my head? Because I hate those fuckers.
It's kind of a mixture of, like, I feel like sometimes you gotta force it, but you don't want to force it all the time. You gotta have, like, the ability to, like, whenever you think of something funny in the moment, to either write down something that'll make you remember it, or do a quick voice memo and then pick through those things later and decide what's interesting to either just talk about on stage or try to flesh it out. But I think a lot of jokes kind of like come to you as they come out a lot of times, and a lot of the other ones become a lot of work to try to develop. And yeah, sometimes you're oversaying, then you got to cut out a little bit. Maybe you cut out a little too much, and then you're like, well, fuck me, you know?
Do you have a joke? Do you have a joke that you just like, and we don't need an example of it, but like, where you just don't want to give up on it, and it's just not working, and it's not working, and even your homie is like, so you tried that joke again, huh?
I've tried to get away from those. Like, this past year, I've some of those I'm really working on, and most of those I've just kind of dropped to the wayside, because you just want to be super consistent and you know, undeniable more than anything else, you know, because especially when you go up at places like Punchline, you cannot afford to, you know, have a half-assed set. Like, it's set up like the tits for you. Like, it's
right,
the spanking new Porsche of taking the spin around the block on the comedy stage. It should be, you go up there and you go up to bat, like bat in practice. Like, theoretically, that doesn't mean it's as easy as that, but those places like Punchline is the places where you kind of almost have to have a different set too, because the way you approach, or at least for me, like a Punchline set is a little bit different than other sets, because you can almost approach it like it's a little more rehearsed in that regard. But when I try to approach now, like, bar shows or any shows that aren't outside, like, more of a setup, like, strict, you know, everyone's in, like, the dark, and it's, like, the perfect, you know, non-distraction environment, at least for the most part, which is what you don't get a lot in comedy.
No.
So
yeah,
exactly. you can't approach always the same thing. I've come off too mechanical when I start trying to use the same, like, 7 or 10 or 15 minutes in like the same kind of order, as opposed to like acknowledging more things about the room or what happened with the last comic. I was just gonna say that.
Yeah.
Or even if not at first, just, you know, trying to like weave jokes in there to like where you ask some kind of question to get some kind of back and forth, but also that leading to you still going into a joke, even if you go off the rails for a couple of minutes with this person, because you're still introducing what you're kind of talking about. You're just kind of like, I do a joke where I say, you guys think it's the most interesting time to be alive, and I've gotten some laughs just out of me saying something back, and then sometimes nobody says something, and that's fine too, because I'm still. But you also want to eliminate those from your act if you're not looking for that, though, because you don't want to ask questions where it's going to F up your timing. That's the only time I would do that, is if I kind of hope someone, like, says something. That's really only, like, when I'm doing, like, a longer set or I'm closing out a show, because I'm not, like, trying to do, like, crowd work.
You have whatever. A little bit of time to stretch or.
Well, at that point too, it's like you don't want to come off too mechanical, you know.
Yeah.
Like, and that's been a problem of mine coming off like too rehearsed over the years, because I'm just, you know, that's why it's so much harder for me to just like kind of go over like a set. Like, even in my free time, like, it's almost like I'd rather bash my head up against the wall. Like, because I know, I have the material. It's just the whole idea of, like, at least for shows that don't have the super high consequence or the, you know, watch all the bookers listen to your show, like, well, let's cross this guy out.
This guy only wants to do punch.
I just want to be a mechanical fuck, you know? No.
Do you have a different set for callback bar versus punch do you right? It's a different, because callback bar is almost like a bar show.
Well, callback bar, that'll be interesting, because I'm doing Punchline next, I think Thursday the 16th.
That's the 16th, yeah.
And then I'm closing out that callback bar competition of Ben Rice's The Cutthroat.
Oh,
comedy,
yeah.
On Sunday night.
Uh-huh.
And that's in callback bar, so I'll have,
oh, you're gonna get, damn, we should have done this next week. that's great. You know, so when you're doing a set, so let's say you're on a show at Punchline, you're like, there's seven comics, you're the fourth one, you're out there watching, reading the crowd.
Punchline, I am, but I'm not as much, because those are the times where,
oh, I think that's what you're saying, kind of like a lot of those bar show variables are eliminated from a Punchline show.
Well, it's not as important. I feel like people come there to see your material.
Yeah.
Like, Punchline is a place where people, yeah, I mean, if crowd work invites itself, or I mean, some people are, you know, really good at it, but I feel like that's a place, I feel like I'm going there and I've worked really hard on this actor material. I just, hopefully, because it's more mechanical, I won't come off as mechanical. That's the only worry with that. But those are the spots that are, whether they're 5, 7, 10, 12, 15 minute spots, at those kind of places, you just really want to make sure you got your best of, no bullshit, no, this hits some of the time, like, you have to be like undeniable in those spots. So that's why, like, I'll really go over like a set for like that. And for the most part, I feel like it works out, but there's sometimes where I'm like, I feel like I come off like I'm too rehearsed or something. So I'm still trying to work on that. I'm trying to get better. I talk to the crowd a lot more when I'm doing shows, like closing them out, or if it's just a bar, need to reset the room, something, just got to throw yourself more into with the wolves, because I've avoided that for a lot of years, but now it's like, parents are dead, Jesse.
Who gives a fuck?
Right?
What, when you did your special, what was your role in your brain about crowd work then? Were you like, I'm not going to do any, or were you still like, if it invites itself?
Well, I mean, I guess if it invites itself, but I was hoping it wouldn't invite itself.
Like, you wanted a smooth, yeah.
Well, because that was a lot of anxiety. I even, like, lost myself at one point in the special. I just took me an extra second, and, you know, we cut it. It wasn't like it was crazy or anything, but, like, I just had, like, a, what? Like, right after I finished a joke? I didn't say that, like, a Tim Allen. I didn't do that. It wasn't a copyright issue. But yeah, I paused for like an extra second, took a sip of water, and then I remember where I was. But
ooh, the sip of water, yeah.
But it was also like the phone rang at the one point. The good on the bartender behind the, it was a cigar lounge, so it's like very tight in that bar, like little area with where that phone on the wall would be, and something you wouldn't even think about.
Yeah, because who's like, let's make sure the phone's off the hook. Like,
yeah, or like, I mean, I didn't think
who's
about
thinking
it.
That? No one's thinking that anymore.
And even if it did, would you start getting the or whatever, you know, that someone's
that
gonna
goes
hold
away.
That, down,
that goes
or,
away. Or goes, that goes away. That only lasts so like 90 seconds.
I should have got a public relations manager, or that's not the right person. I should have gotten a techno savvy person to scope out the place, like Tom Cruise.
Man, I'm gonna put that
style
on Luke and Nick.
Yeah, you gotta tell them to get the phone off the hook.
Jeez.
But they picked it up really fast, and it happened in a way where I didn't lose the joke I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
It was just kind of a really quick cut, but no one, at least that I know, that saw it, like, thought, you know, anything of it. I think it was more of a because we knew. But yeah, definitely a lot of anxiety on that. Are you doing a one show yourself?
I'm doing it one.
Okay.
I'm doing one. I wanted to do the callback and do like a 7 and a 9.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, we've never done like shows like that in the call. We've never done two shows in the callback bar. And then, I wasn't even thinking of the main room.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were like, well, you want to do the main room? And I was like, well, hold on, let me ask my manager. Johnny!
let me think about that.
And I was like, fuck yeah, I want to do the main room. Shit. And then they offered me a bunch of dates and a bunch of Wednesdays and Saturdays, because that's what they throw us. You know,
yeah.
The Wednesdays. No, not Saturdays. The Wednesdays and Sundays.
Yeah.
Yeah, they offered me a bunch of Wednesdays and Sundays. And the Sunday that I ended up choosing is the Sunday before Martin Luther King. So the following day is a holiday.
Okay.
So I think that's going to be easier to get people out on a Sunday, knowing that the next day is a day off.
Drink up, you're sleeping in.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm working really hard to get it.
That's awesome, man.
Done, and I want it. I'm not giving myself a hard time on the set. Like I'm saying, between 30 and 40, because ultimately I want to put it on a record. So like a vinyl.
Oh, that would be dope.
Like that's the long term goal. Fuck, is I want to put it on, dude, a record.
Hell yeah.
I think I got some comedy records right there in the corner. Look at what I got right there in the corner on the floor.
Oh, we get some Eddie Murphy.
I think there's an Eddie Murphy and a Mitch Hedberg right there. The Mitch Hedberg's kind of rare.
Robin Williams.
Oh, that's, dude, you can get one right now at the Goodwill.
Richard Pryor. Do you want me to just grab these?
So that's the goal, is I just want to, and it's, dude, it is absolutely a vanity project. Like Netflix didn't reach out to me, you know, no one reached out to me. I was just like, I think I could do this, you know, so fuck it, I'm going to give it a shot, because who cares anymore, right?
You got some good albums here.
Thanks, Richard
Pryor stuff.
Yeah,
Bill Cosby himself.
That's one of the greatest ever. I mean,
you know, I got to tell you something about that. It's a joke I've been trying to make. I tried to make work on stage, but it's really just one of those things.
I'll take that.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's cool. It's like, you're like, what do I do with these now?
Me and my roommate, that came up somehow where. I'm talking about best comedy specials, like, randomly one day, and I was like, you know, technically, Bill Cosby himself is, like, still one of the best comedy specials of all time, and my roommate's like, oh, is that the one where he talks about raping women? And I was like, no, that's the one where he's sitting down. Yeah.
It's dude, stupid. It is... He says one bad word. It's clean. The whole special is clean.
Oh, dude, that's such a... He's an awful man. But
yeah, no, we're not... Yeah,
somebody I know threw his special on, like, within the past couple of years, and we were just, like, howling with, like, laughter, while also just doing the sign of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
The whole bit about the dentist, I hope that you're satisfied.
No, dude. Special is up there in the top 10 for sure. Like, no matter what anyone says, that's a really good special.
Yeah. Can you think of any other great special? Because we got to cleanse the palate. We got to.
Yeah.
Let's talk about somebody who hasn't been convicted of. Let's talk about what.
Well, you know what? I just
Eddie Murphy Raw.
I wouldn't throw that up there.
Okay.
With like, I think Louis C.K. Oh my God!
Oh, great! You went from Bill to Louis.
Well, a little bit more respectable, man. I mean, at least he admitted. We'll just leave it at that.
All right, let's try to. Anyone else? Do you have
any? Name of the Father, the Son.
Do you like any comics who haven't?
Well, you know, Norm Macdonald's.
All right, there we go, Norm Macdonald.
Norm Macdonald. Or also Jessica Kirsten's Amazon special that Bill Burr produced is fantastic. Ooh. That's an awesome special. I watched it a few times after I saw it. I thought it was really funny. But Norm MacDonald's, the one where he's in the leather jacket might still be my favorite, where he talks about, he's talking about like killing someone, but he's like, you ever do that thing that makes you feel like God or something, something like, I'm probably butchering it, but like, he's just got, he's one of the best comedians of all time. And that, the leather jacket special, I think it was like his third to last special. And the last two were also amazing, don't get me wrong, but there was something about that one I thought was even better. But Nate Bargatze's, you know, Tennessee kid, and I feel like he might be the best comedian, you know, that's going right now.
Right now, you're like alive, yeah. Right now, yeah. I get it. Because they don't, sometimes they don't hold up. Like, you mm-hmm. know, like when, as a kid, I loved George Carlin. And now, like, I can't, I'm just like, oh, this old man.
Well, I mean, that, but here's the thing. He's actually who inspired me.
Oh,
he's,
no, he definitely was an inspiration, yeah.
Well, the thing is he did a lot of political stuff, and that puts him at risk of looking tired, or it's harder to get through some of his specials, which is unfortunate. Because they're now dated, but also a lot of the stuff people emulated from him too, so even more so when you watch some of the things he did, he can come off like, oh, this old man, or he put whatever, this or that. But I feel like you just watch George Carlin for him being George Carlin, like he has the most consistent amount of specials that are just so good from like front to back. And like that bit, the list of people who want to be killed, I mean, that's one of the best bits of all time. I mean, here's another pack of jackoffs want to be strangled in front of their children, like, what?
That's
like,
solid Carlin.
he's I mean, I'm not sure if I would think of him as the best comedian alive if he were alive now, especially how he, like, his last special was still good, but it definitely wasn't the best Carlin. But I do think some of his last of his like four or five specials was some of his best work. Those, like, his last one wasn't the best one, but dude, so much consistency in that guy's career.
I mean, like, I think like by the end he had done it, he did it for like 50, 60 years.
I mean, he died on the road, you know, like doing shows, like no reason to, like, he could have easily been like one of these other comics that just stays close to home, just does theaters. But that guy was living, you know, he's going to go out like a comic because he still had a lot of stuff to say, you know. And if you look up, I can show you afterwards. I have saved on like a couple of YouTube playlists some of the jokes he was working out that, because he didn't get to film another special, that he was like, that were like a classic, like really dirty Carlin joke, but so like funny. I'll have to show you if you remind me. But I mean, I still think you got to put him on your at least top 10 list, if not your top 5, George Carlin.
Like, he'd make my top 10.
He's just harder for me now with like, to think of him as the best. But I mean, to me, like, he's kind of by default, like, still my favorite comedian. But like, now I'd be lying if I didn't say like Bargatze is like my favorite comedian, like, mm-hmm. in terms of just, he just makes me laugh more than anybody else.
But you know what's great though too about comedy is that like 20 years from now, like someone that we've never even heard mm-hmm. of, you're gonna be like, oh, it's great. And they might not even be born yet. Nah, they're probably born already. And that might
be your favorite comedian then, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah. And it's really dependent on like where you are in your life and your perspective. You're like,
oh, you know, it was a really good special, Sarah Silverman's last special that she did. I thought so too.
I love Sarah Silverman. Just,
but I also felt great. Like that, like, however much time had gone by between her last special, like, I felt like there was such like a amazing, like feel like that was such a good special, like from front to back. It wasn't like, didn't come off like a sketchy kind of, and I don't mean, I mean, because she did she did stuff on stage that almost were like sketches, kind of like early on, or like the way she would like act in certain ways and bits and stuff.
Where yeah, I felt she's like, real physical.
I felt like this special was like she was like more just like who she, like it just felt like a little more personal, and like everything was like I was super into, super funny, and I was like, wow, like I thought she was already funny, but I was like, wow, she's like. This is like an amazing special.
She was great
like,
in Crashing. Did you watch Crashing?
I didn't watch
the
it.
Pete Holmes show?
I didn't watch a lot of it, no.
It's great. It's worth the while. And then the episode, I'm pretty sure the episodes are only 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So, I know. AJ, let's start putting a pretty little bow on this. And okay. I wrap these up with this segment called Five Easy Questions.
Five Easy Questions.
No, well, no pressure.
What's that lighter though, Jesse? No.
Five Easy Questions. Are you ready for Five Easy
I'm
Questions?
Ready.
All right, AJ, who or what inspires you? And not just to be a comic. It could be inspires you to be a comic, inspires you to be a good person, inspires you to be a Raider fan. What? Just who or what lights a fire? Why do you jump out of bed in the morning?
I try not to jump. I could injure myself. I don't know. I try to find inspiration through, you know, either some kind of YouTube videos. I've read one of David Goggins' books. I flipped through it because I read about half of it, then reread, like, some of that, so I can't claim that I've read the whole book yet, because it's such a commitment to, I think, I don't know. I will find like ways to like get motivated, but also just with what I've been through, I have to like stay motivated and like confident that I feel like that's the only way you can, because if you're not confident in yourself, then what's the point of putting in the work to do something you want to do?
I get it. It's already part of your daily stride, then, is to just be motivated and just...
Well, I feel like it's going to work out for me at some point, but it could be 10, 20, 30, 40 years before, you know, something that happens where I'm like, I think maybe it's worked out. Yeah. So I'm not saying, you know, it's going to happen, but I feel like... If I just keep making incremental changes and like things I was mentioning, trying to not come off as more mechanical, trying to talk to the crowd more within sets, where, you know, it makes more sense to do that, stuff like that to make me, cause you gotta look at your biggest weaknesses, and that's what I've been trying to do. And, you know, trying to remind myself at times, you know, to try to stay motivated, so that way it's not just about like getting a bit better or doing this. Every once in a while reminding myself, oh yeah, don't do this, or just even just reminding myself to have fun before I go on stage sometimes, because stand up after a while can become like stressful if you're not in the right state of mind enough to like try to remind yourself or do something to make it more exciting for yourself, whether it's like develop a new joke to throw into this same act that you're doing, whatever the hell it might be, because you got to find ways to spice it up, but you also still want to stay consistent, and that's the tricky part. So that's what motivates me, is trying to get better.
Right on. What are you currently binging? And it could be a YouTube series, a book series, just what are you just, I can't get enough of this right now.
I just started watching that Gen V,
Gen V.
It's like a spinoff of The Boys.
Okay.
Have you watched that show?
No.
Dude, super good. It's a really good show. It's like the R-rated version of like a comic book Marvel movie, where it's like you get them being bad guys in between being good guys, like superheroes.
Okay.
And Gen V is like some of that stuff in these guys' blood that makes them these like superheroes. They did like this testing where parents made their babies get injected with this stuff. So there's a bunch of people that grew up like this, unwilling, or I think most of them is what it's like in this world, is like, in some way or another, except for some of the newer ones, they're injected with this stuff. Don't quote me on this. But anyways, it's like this Compound V or whatever it is. So they call it Gen V because they're like more like just got into college kind of age like people, as opposed to like more adults that are already in the Seven, which is the group of these superheroes or whatever. So this is like the college that produces some of those people.
All right.
So it's focusing on these college kids.
What's it on? Hulu?
It's on Amazon.
Amazon. Okay. All right.
Really good show. And it's like, you don't even really need to have watched The Boys. It's just like an extra, whatever's going on is just interesting enough.
Okay. All right. Question number three. What are you afraid of?
Compound V. No. That's a mythical thing in their show. I don't know. Death.
Are you? Does it keep you up at night?
Afraid of not succeeding before I die, maybe. Okay. Or not succeeding, like, not showing enough progress within a year in, year out phase where I can tell there's some type of change that I've done. Because if I feel like there's not some type of change I can recall in recent memory or that I'm not working on, then I feel like a failure, and I'm afraid of failure, afraid of death, I guess.
Right on. What would your last meal on death row be?
Oh, do I get to have multiple plates?
Yeah, it's your last meal.
Well, definitely Chinese food. There's used to be a place near where I lived in Moss Beach in Pacifica. This Chinese place had this honey garlic chicken, and I haven't found something like that again, but some type of garlic chicken with the best chow mein and chicken fried rice.
I'm already getting sleepy.
Yeah. Probably some teriyaki chicken, a waffle.
What are you putting on the waffle?
Because I'm having so much, I probably wouldn't put any butter, but I make sure it's like a really good syrup, and that waffle is like hot. So like by the time I pour the syrup on it and start cutting into it,
yeah,
it won't burn my mouth, but it'll still be like warm, you know, because that's like the best.
Damn.
And you don't get that a lot, no matter where you go. Like,
no,
it's like when you get a hot donut. It doesn't happen a lot.
Like, oh, get a hot Krispy Kreme,
or like, but I mean, even if you like. If you're ever able to time it right at the regular donut shop or the
Krispy Kreme. Oh, you got to be there like at 5 in the morning.
No, I know. So like, if you're able to get that though, those are kind of magical.
You know, one time I was in Mexico, dude, and we went to go get pan dulce, like the Mexican sweet bread, and they were like, hold on, about 15 minutes, it's coming out of the oven.
Ooh.
And we watched them sprinkle the sugar on it, throw it in the oven, and we're just like, is this really about to fucking happen?
Food is amazing. Yeah, man.
Right on. Death meal. And last question, man. What's next? What's next for you, man? Is there a goal or like a show?
Death
or like
row at this point. I'm hungry as
I'm ready to go.
No
appeals.
Well, I got two shows at Punchline next week that I'm pretty.
That's a fucking humble brag right there. That's awesome, dude. Congrats. Hell yeah.
Well, I mean, one of them's, one of them's actually, like, it's the first one I've been, like, kind of booked by one of the bookers, or I reached out and they reached back to me. So that's a first. Otherwise, it's just been showcases, like the one on Sunday. Not to say not as good or important or anything, but that's why I'm there basically twice instead of, you know, typically you wouldn't be there, but because it's a produced show by another comic on Sunday in the Callback, so that's why I'm kind of double dipping that week.
Right on. That's a fun show, that Callback, the Cutthroat Comedy.
Is yeah, that'll be fun. It'll be I'm going up while they're judging.
Yeah, do you still like when you hear that? You're like, no one's gonna be paying attention, but they do. Like it's like he's
no, yeah, but also yeah. that's an opportunity to maybe treat a little bit less like the main room, where if people are, you know, checking a bill or whatever, just having the frame of mind to like, if, you know, there might be someone I talk to for a second or pose one of those questions in between jokes to, you know, acknowledge the room a little bit and not you know.
Right on. We'll do something. AJ, did we cover everything you wanted to talk about? Did we good?
I think so.
All right.
Your dog loves me.
Yeah, she does. Are you wearing a certain cologne?
Yeah, the Raiders play tonight, so you know I gotta wear my silver.
Are they the Sunday night?
Yeah, they're playing.
Oh, that's right. Because I tried to do this in the evening. You're like, no, I can't. Raiders.
Yeah. Hey, I'm excited for Raiders football again now. First time in years. So
right on.
Gonna celebrate.
All right, man. Well, let's get out of here. Thanks for coming on, AJ.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate you, man. Appreciate it. All right.